The Hopeless Fan Podcast is brought to you by recording once a week. Recording once a week. It's just what we do now. All right, we are back. Got Thursday's episode up over the weekend, and now we skipped Monday. Too close together. Now we're recording on Wednesday. Have this out in plenty of time to get our previews in, our boardwalk, our snake draft pick'em. Heating up, by the way, both of them. But we'll start stand of the week time. First off, Scotty, how are you from Columbus?
I'm doing well.
Okay.
That's as broad as I'd like to make it.
This is as specific as I'd like to be.
Yeah.
We had a good betting week last week, bud.
Yeah.
I had a couldn't lose week last week, and now I'm scared to place a bet.
Oh yeah, I get that.
Because I don't want to mess it up.
I know when Scotty does good or not betting because
as well.
Sure. Fuck you,
Mr. Journalist.
He's like, if he has something that wins, he'll put a picture of it in the chat, and then if he doesn't, we'll just be like, how'd you do this weekend? He's like, about even.
That's about as specific as I'd like to be.
So I did it once. I posted my ticket to you guys because I think you guys have done it before in the chat. So I did it, and then I kept winning. So I was like, well, I have to keep doing it until I lose.
Yeah.
And I didn't, like, literally I didn't lose until Sunday, from Monday to Sunday.
Mm.
And I would just place one $50 bet a night or so.
How'd you fare on Sunday?
I broke about even. Literally, I just lost that one parlay.
That's as specific as I'd like to be.
I just broke even after that.
No, that's what Zach and I, like, the dust settled Sunday night, and I'm like, Zach, we're looking at our account, and I'm like, I'm down $2. Like, it's like, if I'm like half unit bets, I'm like 80% on.
Arizona and then, saved you for once.
Well, it wasn't that
well,
big. It wasn't that
from
big of
being
a bet.
In
yeah,
the
it
red.
Flipped me from down to up small
right.
either
right.
way. But it's like with half unit bets, I'm probably like 85%.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
anything above that, I'm about 50.
Right. It's like everything that you're so confident in that you'd put multiple units on, it's like that's not going to hit.
Yeah.
That's like 50-50 at best. But everything you're like, I don't know, maybe I'll sprinkle a little bit of half a unit here, then it's like definitely.
Well, the problem yeah. is it's like and, on Sundays, whereas like during the week, you're like prepping for Sunday, so like you make fun bets or whatever. So I was doing that, except they were like, you know, high price bets. But then again, on Sunday, you're like, want to bet everything because you're like, you think you know it all. And then you end up just breaking even if you bet that much. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like,
yeah.
you bet too many things to where, you know, you don't know it all. And, you know, in best case scenario, you go barely over 500. So you really just come out of winning just one anyway if you don't break even.
Yeah, that well, my thing was with the half unit and full unit bets. It was like I looked at my board Sunday on the whiteboard, and on singles I was like 5-2-1.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm only up or I'm down $2 because the two losses were my two bigger bets on the single side. But we'll have stand of the week, bunk of the week. We'll do some Twitter trend. How'd you get screwed in fantasy comes back. We'll talk some bad beats that we might have. We'll have tease and thank you, snake draft, boardwalk, and then
loaded.
Two questions of. Football Jeopardy. Not Jeopardy. Family
let's
Feud.
Fucking
between
go.
Zach and Scott. Two questions. That's all I had time for. All right. Let's start at Stand of the Week. Scotty.
Stand of the Week is going to be Bengals in-season management.
Yeah.
I guess you can... I guess you maybe could call that a bunk, depending on what side of the spectrum you are. But I'm calling it a stand.
Big stand.
Big stand.
Oh, yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
I didn't know that besides Carlos Dunlap being dealed today to the Lions or Colts or Seahawks.
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 Seahawks, I knew it was one of those blue teams. Seahawks, the only other in-season trade was actually Carson Palmer, who wasn't even playing in the Mike Brown
right.
era. So kudos to them, I guess.
Yeah. Turning the corner. Bringing in, brought in a new lineman, and we're signing another offensive
Need
lineman
it.
That the his Bills
name,
just cut.
What's his name? BJ.
Sure.
Great. Not.
Future All Pro is what I like to call him.
BJ.
So yeah, you got to cut the bait. Carlos Dunlap, a savage tweet, putting his house up on Twitter, 10 minutes after the Bengals lost
Get me
in
the
final
fuck out of here.
Right, and it was disappointing just because. Dunlap's been here since 2010, and like so his first year they were obviously bad, and then the next 5 years they were good, and then he's had to suffer through 16, 17, 18, 19 of being bad again, and then it's like finally hit his breaking point. All I know is He's one sack away. He leaves one sack away from the franchise record in sacks.
Oh, that sucks.
And he also, you know, the Bengals get no pressure, and that includes when he's on the field.
That
so
sucks. One sack away.
He'll probably have a great year in Seattle. Well, because
Dunlap,
that whole like fresh.
You know how we've always talked about the Bengals and the Broncos kind of just mirroring each other. They're really parallels. Like since 2015. Both of those like great players on defense that like went through those years of 2011 or 2012 through 2015. They just like Derek Wolfe for the Broncos, Chris Harris, Von Miller. Same with the Bengals. It's like Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, fucking Reggie Nelson rolling over in his grave. Just all those players. Drake Kirkpatrick. I mean, all of them.
They all move and on. You feel bad for him. You feel bad for him because like, you want to win for the good players. You're like, I hope they're just happy. Yeah. And that's probably where the parallels end with the Bengals and Broncos, because the Broncos won a Super Bowl in 15, and the Bengals actually have a quarterback now. All right. My stand of the week, Ryan Day, Justin Fields, throwing that shit. Big. I finally won a college football bet.
Me too.
It was Ohio State. Then you threw that gutter ball with Minnesota at night against Michigan. Oh. But Ohio State steamrolling. It's Ohio State spread till it loses, and then keep going. Dude. So it's like bet Ohio State spread every week because they just want – they need the style points. They need the style points because they're getting a late jump on the rankings. Mm-hmm. They want to prove it. I love it. I'm back to being – I'm back in seventh grade because I'm an Ohio State fan again.
Some people bet, bet the line at minus 28, so them going for it on fourth and one at the goal line.
The touchdown Ryan Day apologized for.
So that there's a bunk for that one. Fuck you for apologizing for points.
All right. Zach, Stan.
The stand of the week is me.
Oh, God.
And I'm, hey. Okay.
I was thinking it might have been me for what I did for you.
Well,
a couple things I did for you.
Well, I mean, that's okay.
Elaborate.
Okay.
I'm sure he will. Shelby's never been one to not self-aggrandize.
Well, Zach's never been one to, like, not blame himself for something.
Any hoozles. I was out dashing today, and I was planning on finishing up about 5:30. And,
One horse sleigh.
Mm-hmm. What was that? What's the line?
What did you want to say, Zach? Because it sounded like you were having trouble too. What's the line?
I don't know. One horse broken sleigh?
No.
One horse rope and sleigh?
Dashing through the snow on a one horse.
One horse open?
Open sleigh. There you go.
God, Zach.
That was the question the whole time? I zoned out for 10 seconds.
That's all right. Well, anytime Zach starts to speak for more than five, it's like, all right, zone out. The Jerry
Gergich of this podcast. Here's the old video games I grew up playing.
I'm sorry, you had a terrible childhood. All right, so I got to 5 o'clock and I was at $69 and I was like, that's probably good.
Yeah,
this is a good number to finish on.
That's good. Scotty Bunk.
My bunk is the MLB COVID testing protocols, because not until after the Dodgers successfully win the World Series and they're all on the field.
Damn it.
And they, you know, the MLB season is over and they can say, oh, we successfully completed it. Not before one last oopsie daisies. I guess a player got pulled in the middle of the game. Turner.
Justin Turner, Reds draft pick.
For testing positive.
Cincinnati legend.
Well, just so happens, the dude is on the field with the trophy at the end of the game with everyone else. So, COVID for everyone.
Everyone,
let's celebrate.
That was just funny because, like, I thought maybe, and no offense to you, Scotty, you, like, didn't know what Justin Turner looked like, or you were just like, I thought I saw him on the field.
His name was you said Josh Turner at first.
To the country singer. Baby, lock them doors and turn the lights. And then you actually sent me the tweet. I'm like, oh, that's freaking great. Yeah. He's just like maskless, hugging people. He's
standing there with his wife holding the whole ass trophy.
It's like inches away from a newborn baby's face.
You might as well just be like on the field coughing people. Like coughing on people. Congrats.
That plays along to my bunk, which was Rob Manfred. And it's kind of actually a stand because allowing fans in the stands for the World Series allowed him to be booed while he was on the podium That's talking. Awesome. And then, so he was on the podium talking, and then the second time he's presenting the MVP, and the dude is blitzed. I mean, he's talking like, he's like two words every 10 seconds.
Like J.R. Smith
He's just
blitzed.
Slurring. Yeah. Like, congratulations on the MVP award. Martini is my drink of choice. What?
But yeah, tough look for Rob Manfred because everyone hates him already, and then he goes on national TV, stands in front of that MVP car that the winner gets, and just absolutely, like, he got booed, and then he's like, fuck this, and just grabbed, like, Gentleman Jack and just pounded it for, like, 10 seconds. Like, you know you got to present the MVP. He's like, the what? And then that's how that happened. All right, Zach.
My bunk is Shelby.
Oh.
You took a shower shortly before.
Yeah.
Listening to Gloria.
Yeah. Good song.
So that's not the bunk. Okay. That's a good song. Correct. You coming out of the shower... Having the nerve to come out of the shower in front of me looking like that? That's a bunk.
What'd I do?
Make me act up.
Oh, God. Where the fuck is that going?
Zach is like reaching when he's just like, my stand is myself and the bunk is one of you guys.
Straight out of the Scotty playbook.
I was just about to say, it's like, take
God
someone
damn
to
it,
know
I'd never do that.
And Scotty's like, I have my bonus. Just you go first while I find it.
Yeah. Although it's honorable mention stand, Shelby back at it again with the white Vans.
Yeah.
Shelby's anniversary present.
One of them, yeah. And a Bauer jersey, don't leave.
Please don't leave.
Any other stand of mine you want to mention why you might appreciate me?
Well, we could get into it in betting.
All right. Betting? Maybe how'd you get screwed in fantasy, which is up next. Go ahead.
Okay, so I had a one-week trade that I initiated on Saturday with Nathan.
So basically, in our league, it's the only league that does this where you just want – you need some – you it's getting kind of ridiculous. It's getting but ridiculous. I don't care. as soon as I saw Scotty
– trade vetoes out the window, by the way.
Scotty and a guy in our league had like five players in a deal, and I'm like, good trade. And then he's like, it's just for 1 week. I thought it was 3-2 were traded. But yeah, we have 1 week trades. And you just trade them back at the end of the week and start from scratch with your problems.
Right.
All right, go ahead.
So Joe Mixon out this week. One of my featured backs.
I guess the Browns last week.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so a guy who's doing pretty well in our league was 4-2. Now he's 5-2. He had Giovanni Bernard on his bench. So I said, 1 week trade. So that happens on Saturday. And then, I go through the day on Saturday, and then everything has to be approved by Shelby before it's finalized. So I don't even think about it. It does. I don't even think about it until it's like right before kickoff, and Shelby goes, you didn't put Bernard in your starting lineup.
But just to be fair, that you had him for at least 24 hours by the time kickoff happened.
Nathan submitted the trade at, I think, and shortly after 10 a.m.
Well,
on Saturday.
We have the receipts.
Right.
So it's,
and this is
your
until
way out of this
one,
so, Z-Money.
Assuming you did it between 10 and noon, then it would have been, by the strictest definition, 24 hours.
10 and
hours.
Noon on Sunday?
10 and 1.
Okay, so do you really need 24 hours or?
Mm.
3 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay, so less than 24 hours.
Okay.
Right.
If that's what you need.
Well, that's you said 24 hours. So, in any case, he says you forgot to put him in your starting lineup. I'm so focused on betting, I don't really give a shit about my 2-4 team or whatever it is at that time. 2-3, now 3-4. Anyways, and I'm like, fuck. And then Shelby's like, no, I'm just kidding. I actually put him in your starting lineup for you.
I use my commissioner powers to do the right thing.
He uses commissioner powers to put him to do the right thing. And we were playing each other this week. And if that he hadn't put him in,
I would have won by 1 point.
Correct.
I lost by 16. Giovanni Bernard had 17 or something like that. Gio had 1 point past the margin. So that's what you get. I thought, I would
congratulations,
have, ba- I would
played
have
yourself.
Bad karma if I didn't do that.
Or at least you wouldn't have not heard about it from me.
Right. Because it would have been everyone's fault but Zach's.
Correct.
So And I had it at like 10 a.m. I checked, and Zach still hadn't done it. And then I'm like, well, okay. And then at like 11, I checked again. I'm like, oh, he still hasn't. And then it was like 12:15, and we were about to go outside and drink alcohol. And I was like, you might not do it. All right. Scotty, did you get screwed in fantasy this week?
Yeah, Justin Herbert. Fucking went off.
More ways than one. Ugh.
Now he's on your team. Drake.
Fuck yeah, he is.
1 week
for,
trade.
For the week.
A real KD move right there. Justin Herbert the snake.
Yeah, have to. Had to do it. Why not? You know, Deshaun Watson on a bye, 2QB league. Hey, you know, I'm not opposed to being evil. I don't care.
Real quick, in our league, I actually...
Made a deal with the devil.
I just acquired in an actual trade that's not 1 week.
I thought it was a 1 weeker.
Mm-hmm.
No. Got me some Tyler Lockett.
This is Permanente.
So who'd you get? What was the trade?
Tyler Lockett and Kirk Cousins.
For who?
Chase Edmonds,
Antonio Brown, Andy Dalton, and Amari Cooper.
Damn. I like that trade. Not so much for you, though.
Yeah, I don't know. With Cooper having backup throwing to him.
It's confirmed output versus potential.
That's true with
output.
Cooper.
And Edmonds,
that's true with Cooper.
And the guy I traded has Kenyon Drake, so he wants to be handcuffed no matter what. And
same deal I did with Teddy Two Gloves. I picked him up for free, and I was trying to shop him around like a piece of meat.
And with Tom Brady, he also has Tom Brady, so he wanted Antonio Brown, mm-hmm. even though I don't know how Brown's going to be much of a... There's going to be so many targets.
Yeah, Godwin's
there.
Back.
Yeah. Okay.
Scotty's looking good out there. Scotty Miller.
My favorite thing on Couldn't Twitter this week... One. was Kim Kardashian's island party.
Yeah.
Did you see this? Oh, God. You didn't see this, Scotty? This
dumb bitch.
Oh, I love this. Okay, so Kardashian, she tweets, she's got pictures of her, like, with her family.
Which
her,
is
her
good
siblings.
As ever. The best body money can buy.
Right. Her siblings, and, like, she's on this, like, looks like this, like, bridge type, wooden bridge type deal. And you can tell she's on like somewhere exotic. They're in sand, and then
it's like, is Dan Bilzerian gonna come hopping out from behind you?
And so it was her 40th birthday. She said, "40 and feeling so humbled and blessed. There is not a single day that I take for granted, especially during these times when we are all reminded of things that truly matter." And then she replied to her own tweet with pictures with her and a bunch of friends for my birthday this year. I couldn't think of a better way to spend it than with some of the people who have helped me shape me into the woman I am today. Don't see Ray
shape,
J in this picture.
Yeah, really.
She said, before COVID, I don't think any of us truly appreciated what a simple luxury it was to be able to travel and be together. And then she said, after 2 weeks of multiple health screens and asking everyone to quarantine, I surprised my closest inner circle with a trip to a private island where we would pretend things were normal just for a brief moment in time.
Normal for who, Kim?
We danced, rode bikes, swam near whales, kayaked, watched a movie on the beach, and so much more. I realize that for most people, this is something that is so far out of reach right now. So in moments like these, I am humbly reminded of how privileged my
right
life
now.
Is. Yeah, it's like, oh, you just yeah. now realize you're privileged? But yeah. No,
out of reach right now?
No
for most
one
of you?
Reads a room like Kim K.
My favorite comment was, my father didn't have a funeral, Kim.
It's also Tristan Thompson.
We're eating
also
McDonald's
there.
Tonight.
I don't know how that guy lasted.
He's back. He's back with the fat one, yeah. Who's not fat anymore. What's her name?
Chloe.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, Kim. I developed crippling depression and like gained 24 pounds. So, but I'm glad your private island went well, and your brother's still fat,
and your husband's still crazy.
Oh yeah, no pictures of Kanye at all.
Probably wasn't there.
Probably not.
Busy on the campaign trail.
That's right.
Sorry. Do you have more you want to talk
about?
No,
I was just saying that this is pretty good. That mm-hmm. It's nice that she prefaced it by being like, I know this isn't like a lot of people can't imagine this right now.
Way to
like,
get out in front
like,
of it.
I was like, yeah, if it wasn't for this pandemic, I probably would have had my island rented by now, Kim. Oh, God.
You did have to miss out on that cruise, though.
That's true. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about your 76ers?
Yeah, new era.
New era. The Daryl Morey era.
Fuck yeah.
In Philadelphia has begun.
Mm-hmm.
Former Rockets GM Daryl Morey, as most of you know, is in talks to oversee the 76ers operation. Now, what that means in terms of the what kind of professional capacity that's going to be, I don't know. Is it sort of like a I'm blanking on his name. Triangle offense was over the Knicks.
Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson kind of situation with New York, or what kind of capacity you're going to be in, president of basketball operations, what have you. But yeah, are you excited?
Very excited.
Okay.
Executive of the year in 2018, mm-hmm. turned the Rockets from a dumpster fire, not really, because they kind of made the playoffs a lot.
Was he the
into a consistent winner with Kevin McHale and Mike D'Antoni?
Was he the one who stood up to China?
Stood up to China.
Love it.
Love it. And then the NBA was like, "You can't do that."
Yeah. LeBron was like, "You can't do that." And then the NBA was like, "Yeah."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, LeBron, we got your back. Season doesn't count.
Mickey Mouse. Yeah.
Him, Doc Rivers. Couple of proven,
I fuck a lot of bats.
Proven winners. but yeah, I'm excited.
Speaking of China.
The big question, what do you do with Embiid and Simmons?
Who do you trade, Shelby? If okay, you wake up tomorrow and you're Daryl Morey. Who do you trade?
Well, I get the job first. Make sure that's locked down before I make some moves.
Yep.
Then I stand up to China again.
Mm-hmm.
Double down on that.
Tell them to stick.
Double down on that before I officially get the job.
Tell them where they can stick that China virus.
Yeah.
Right in their China hole.
Exactly. I fucked a lot of bats. but yeah, I would trade Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Trade Simmons.
Okay,
room in a league for a guard that takes up the paint.
Right.
Because he can't shoot outside.
Well, my counter to that is... Okay, yes, he is a guard. I would call him more probably a power forward, but
yeah, true.
I mean, if you can call guard. If you can call Embiid or not Embiid, Nikola Jokic a guard,
a skinny person,
a human being and not Euro trash, then he's back just in time to be triggered. No, it's hard because Embiid
not
is technically
than Jokic.
You know. What do you call it? Like a 3 or a 4, I guess? Or would you call him a 2?
Worse
whatever.
Than Jokic.
Right.
Whatever you want. You missed us trashing Jokic, by the way. It's okay. It's like big men are not a thing in the league. Especially, well, they are a thing, but it's like they're not as outside of Nikola Jokic.
He's not as good a passer as Jokic as long as Jokic doesn't pass too many times.
Right.
Because then defenses get a read on.
Chill.
They got tape.
It's a hard decision because
Daddy, chill.
I think that I definitely agree that Joel Embiid is a more impactful player when he's healthy, and he's an easier to build around guy. But Embiid have also
sounds like
also
the 76ers should have hired you
issues as well. I mean, coming into the league, the only reason right, the only
Zach
reason, the only reason that not Embiid. Simmons won Rookie of the Year is because he was injured his real rookie year.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Yeah, that rule in the NBA is dumb, but it is what it is, and that's really not what we're talking about anyways. But yeah,
Do you guys watch The Bachelorette?
But yeah, you answer my question.
You should, because it's hilarious.
No, but we should, and we also... because I've seen a bunch of clips about how
sucks,
like, no
dude,
one
it's
really
so funny.
Likes this girl.
God awful.
Well, my favorite one was guys like you're totally classless, and I expected more
that dude
from
got
the
chill.
Oldest bachelorette.
No, it was
ever.
So funny. He just sat down. He's like, I'm gonna tell her how I feel, and then he like started off saying, he like sits down right, and he's like, I told you from the beginning that like you know I was always gonna be honest with you, and you know I just you know the only thing I ask from you is that you just is that you hear me out.
And she's
like,
yeah,
of course. You know, it's really like, I'm like, okay, really respectful, even though in the background, like, before he went to talk to her, he was, like, shitting on her. He's like, I can't believe, like, she would set this example. Like, she, like, so disrespectful. So then he just, like, fucking goes in on her and then, like, speaks for, like, 10 minutes. Like, actually, I'm really disgusted. Actually, you're kind of a piece of shit.
And she's just sitting there taking, she's just saying, weren't you just like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude.
Scotty, did you watch Hubie Halloween?
Yeah, we talked about it.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well,
I was going to say we're 0-for-1 in like movie reviews and TV
reviews. Bachelorette.
But we should
so,
jump on
watch
the
all of the episodes.
Now.
I mean, they're golden.
No, I absolutely agree. That's like, it's addictive television because it's not like, you know, what you make it out to be. So I'm on.
Correct.
Aren't they every Tuesday night? Okay, so Tuesday night into Thursday, because then sometimes
that's where all this heat happened. Last was the episode last night.
Sometimes on Thursday, so we could just break up all the football talk we have.
Yeah,
since we only have football now.
Right.
So the biggest heat.
So starting next week. All right, go ahead.
The biggest heat is next week. She leaves the show. The first time ever a bachelorette is going to leave the show because she fell in love with a dude too quick. She caught feelings too quick on one guy, and she's been focusing all of her attention on this guy. So it's hilarious because she's just like ghosting and just like not acting into any other dudes. And it's just like the other dudes are like, what the fuck are we here for?
So the only clip I saw was where like they're like in the backyard drinking and she's just like, this is usually where people try to talk to me. No one's talking to me.
Oh, yeah. She's dramatic.
I watched recently the Nathan For You episode where he makes the fake like bachelor type show. Mm-hmm. He just, the host is like, thinks it's a real job, and he's like, can you leave the room for this? And like the whole time he has him in another room. And then he asks him if he had a threesome, and he's like, tells all the girls in the house, and then they're like, all right, this is a fake show, you're not going to be here for a long time. And then I just want to thank the host guy for confiding in me that he had a threesome with another dude, right?
The thing is, back in the day, I used to watch, like, I know it's obviously, it's not The Bachelorette, it's not as cleaned up, but like, I Love New York, and Flavor of Love, and Rock of Love.
Rock of Love.
That used to be the shit.
What's the tequila one?
Oh, yeah.
She was a smoke show. Andrew Whitworth style.
What was... Now it's gonna... There was Daisy of Love, too.
Shot of Love with Tia Tequila. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll start that now. On Thursdays, we'll do a Bachelorette review from Tuesday night.
Oh, God. I can't be more excited.
Scotty, all right. Someone's got to hold me accountable. It'll probably be Scotty on Tuesday night being like, hey, Bachelorette's on.
You also have to watch the previous three.
Right, I know.
And we have something to watch on the worst night of
exactly.
the week.
Exactly. So, Scotty, Stand of the Week, Scotty, for giving us a Tuesday night assignment.
Let's go. Yeah.
Now we just need a Wednesday night assignment, and we're golden.
Wednesday night assignment would be great. Mm-hmm. All right. Scotty, what did you think of Hubie Halloween?
I loved it, dude. You and me talked about it with the cat eyes, which was the funny.
Oh, God.
The problem is with Hubie Halloween is that people go in there thinking it's going to be like a well-acted thing, when really it's just like a whole SNL skit. It's really what it is. Yeah. You got to go in knowing it's just about to be dumb as fuck and not like a, you know, a movie that has a lot of depth.
I could not get, like, there was obviously stupid parts in it, but like, Violet Valentine like actually being into him was funny. Yeah. And then, but also like my favorite part, and I've already told Zach, is that like obviously the running joke is every time Adam Sandler's on his bike, people are just throwing shit at him.
Yeah.
But then like throughout the movie, when he like realizes something and he has to go somewhere real fast, he starts sprinting, and I forget people are gonna throw shit at him, and they start throwing like fire lit arrows that are on fire at him, and like microwaves and bowling balls at him. And then he's running through the woods, and the bears stand up and start throwing shit at him. Oh my God.
My favorite was the running joke of, you know, Tim Meadows and Maya Rudolph.
He's
like sucking on the fake fingers that are holding his supposed to be decapitated head. She's like, what are those supposed to be, little penises or something? He's like, is this not doing it for you? She's like, no. And then like it runs throughout the show where she's oh, that oh wow. And he's like, is that doing it for you? She's like, no.
My favorite.
And then at the end you find out that the radio host is Shaq.
Yeah. He eats that sandwich.
One of my favorite
what'd you say,
yeah, Scott? One of my favorite moments was when they catch his mom, you know, at the end. And like the two inmates or whatever, the two mental hospital inmates just point up their finger guns. Like, all right.
It's like, hold your fire on my command.
One of my favorite things was how like it was like you'd forget about the running joke, and then it would hit you, and then it was like his thermos was everything.
Yeah.
Like vacuum. It was a vacuum. It was a blender, and then he like laid down in the grass. It turned into a telescope, and then he's like running away, and it also is a grappling hook. But yeah, it was and a nice tribute to the kid that passed away tragically.
Oh yeah, the epileptic guy.
Yeah, who died, and he was in his 20s.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Our age.
Yeah, he was in He was Adam Sandler's son in Grown Ups.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And he passed away unexpectedly, like in the summer.
He had a seizure.
It was in the credits.
Yeah, it was after all the bloopers.
I wouldn't have noticed it, but I saw a Twitter post about it.
I love when they threw at the end of the credits. He threw the dodgeball at him. He caught it, and he's like, he like had that reference to Billy Madison. I was like, all right, now you're in trouble.
Yeah. Ben Stiller back as his. It's like, oh, they got Ben Stiller for just like an hour to do do his Hal makeup from Happy Gilmore. Also, like, I love Dan Patrick's in movies because then on his show, he'll talk about it. And it's kind of cool because he's like such best friends with Sandler that he has like behind the scenes stuff about it.
But never talks about Dayton.
Huh?
Never talks about Dayton.
No.
Hates Dayton.
Yeah, well, who can blame him?
Yeah, right. Who could?
Except the one time they were good last year.
Right.
Then he embraces us.
Yeah, but didn't do much in the postseason.
Well, couldn't.
If anything.
Both could be right. All right, Boardwalk and Snake Draft Pick'em. Which one first?
Snake Draft Pick'em.
Snake Draft Pick'em.
We rarely do that first.
All right, so here's the rundown.
Here's the rub.
Scotty's three games back of first of me. He went three and... Yeah.
Darn.
I'm one game above you now because I went 4-0, you went 2-2.
Yikes.
Scotty is 18-10. Zach is 20-8. I am 21-7.
I thought I went 3-1, and I'm getting worse here.
You went 3-1.
That's good. But you went 4-0.
You gained on me, but lost ground on Shelby.
Yeah, exactly.
Christ. Okay.
All right. Here we go, Scotty. You obviously have the first pick.
Obviously,
Kansas City.
Going on a limb,
pussy.
What a douche.
Let me just say, I love the board. God, I love this board. All right, Zach.
Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay. Over the Giants. All right, good pick. Mm-hmm. Good pick. I will go with Philly over Dallas.
Ooh, and then you're going to follow it up with the one I thought you were going to take?
Yeah, Green Bay.
No.
That's not the one you're thinking?
No, thanks for leaving the one I wanted for me.
I'm going to take Tennessee over Cincinnati, Shelby. I thought you were going to take it.
I'll take Green Bay over Minnesota.
And I'll take Tennessee over Cincinnati.
Okay.
Scotty, you care to stop being a bitch long enough to take a pick?
I feel like that's just uncalled for. But,
what?
I'll take Buffalo.
Over New England. I also have a 4-team parlay that can't lose.
Can't lose or I'm homeless. The rest of the board is shaky because I don't
know. It's kind
of
shit.
I'll kind of take. I guess I'll take. Fuck me. I guess I'll take the Rams over the Dolphins.
Tua.
Yeah, but first start.
Hey, the Chargers are the best 2-4 team in the league.
Might be. Is that who you taking over the Broncos?
No, I'm just saying. I feel like they've played way better than 2-4.
Mm.
Now you want to talk about the worst team at 2-4? No. I'm gonna take.
Take Baltimore, you fucking bitch. Yeah.
The Colts over the Lions.
He already told me he bet on the Steelers to win.
God, what a dumbass.
Wow. This is a
slim pickings.
It is kind of tough. I love the board, but
there's a restaurant not far from us called Slim Chickens. You've been
separates
there?
Separates the boys from the men.
It's good.
I hate this, but I'll take New Orleans to beat Chicago.
Nice.
And then I'll take. We will go with the pick. That is the Cleveland Browns over the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Zach?
Crossfire it.
I thought about it.
Yeah, you already bet the Raiders.
Right.
At +2.5.
Easy.
Take it.
Did bet them to win, though.
Do it.
Bet them +2.5.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
I'm gonna take
exactly. He's like talking about how much value he got at like plus money at 2.5, and I'm like, yeah, because it's basically money line.
Because I said now it's minus odds. It was plus odds when I got it.
Yeah,
now it's
like
minus
20 cents.
Well, just
So I got Raiders +2.5 plus odds. Like, take a money line +132.
You take a money line, bitch. I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles.
I already did. That was my first pick.
That was your first pick?
My first pick.
Yikes, dude. Yikes. Seattle Seahawks, then. Love them.
To death. Chargers.
Smart pick.
Go Chargers.
Smart pick.
Go.
All right, we go to Boardwalk. Who wants to lead off? We got Minnesota at Green Bay, the frozen tundra. Where the Packers
let me start.
Are 6.5-point favorites. The over-under is set at a whopping 52.5.
Let me start off with a trend that's going to be familiar in my Boardwalk.
Yeah.
And it's the under 52.5.
Ooh.
And just that's follow up
a trend
real quick.
Divisional games all around. Every single game on our Boardwalk is divisional.
Yeah.
Under 52.5, I don't think it's going to be as high scoring in Green Bay as it was in a dome in Minnesota. I don't think Minnesota's very good. I don't know about Green Bay just because I like I lean their spread, but I like the under more just because I just think it won't take much to beat Minnesota, and they could win off field goals. So just give me Green Bay.
Zach?
And under.
Yeah, I'm going to follow up with the under 52.5 as well. I think that Green Bay – finna make an example out of Minnesota, but I think it's gonna be kind of like you saw with the Rams and the Bears the other night.
Two division teams.
Yep, two division teams. No love lost there. I think the Packers get out to an early lead, and Minnesota doesn't put up much of a fight. Kirk Cousins is all but inept as the quarterback there. Ask any Vikings fan. What time of day is this game?
1 o'clock.
Ooh, well, that bodes well for him, but I'll eat my words if he can pull that one out. I'm taking the under 52.5.
I'm going to take Green Bay to win by a touchdown at home. Mm-hmm. Packers are clicking. They've already had their slip-up game against the Bucks, bounce back against Houston. Now they get that divisional game against a Minnesota team. The under scares me because the Vikings are going to be in a lot of those games where they're getting blown out and they just throw a bunch, like week one.
The reason you traded for Cousins.
Right. That's why I wanted Cousins, because I think they're going to be losing in a lot of games. I think Green Bay cements itself as one of the top teams, because now everyone's kind of on Tampa Bay. Is that maybe them being the
number
one seed?
Unless he gets benched.
True. All right, taking Green Bay. Next game, AFC North, Steelers +4 at Baltimore with an over-under of 46.5, Zach.
So to start with this one, this is my team, and I'm taking the Ravens -4.5.
Ooh,
and I'm going to tell you why.
-4.
Oh, it's now 4?
It was...
Yeah, in the chat it's 4.5, but we'll go with 4.
Is it 4.5?
In the chat it says 4.5, but now
take
it's 4.
Take 4.5. I'll take +4.5.
Doesn't matter.
You have 4.5.
Okay.
All right.
Doesn't matter. I think that in this situation, you look at the one team that's beaten the Ravens, it's quarterback play.
Right.
They shredded their secondary, and it was because Patrick Mahomes had all day to throw. They didn't get to him. And I think that this is the difference. We just had a huge ad with Yannick, last name
Ngakoue.
Redacted. And I think that this this defensive line is going to get to Ben so much that I think that's the difference maker, where they can hopefully get out to an early lead and then just milk it till the end. I would ordinarily take the under, but it's kind of lower at 46.5, so I'm going to stay away
48.
From it. Yeah, I'm going to stay away from the under here, and just go with the Ravens winning by 2 field goals.
Mm. Scotty.
I'm not going to let it going from 48 to 46 deter me. I'm taking under 46.5, divisional game, classic Ravens-Steelers game. That's just real football. That's Steel City football.
Yeah, football. Football.
Yeah. Easy. Divisional game. One of those 12-6 going into the fourth quarter games.
Oh, yeah. Cup of chili. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. This would be a best bet of mine at +4.5. And I think you get an advantage with coaching staffs that have seen Lamar Jackson before. So the Bengals had a very good defensive game plan against Lamar Jackson, held him to 20 points. And you look at the Steelers team with that defense.
You'll say that
you go,
often.
You go, exactly. And you go to last year, the one time the Steelers played Lamar Jackson last year.
Do you think the Browns have played Lamar Jackson?
Not that coaching staff, no. Try again.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a completely different coaching staff at the Browns.
Okay.
But don't they have they access to the film
the,
from last
They take
year?
All the film from the year before. They just throw it in the trash. I don't want to look at
hard,
any of it.
Hard one shot.
I would say they wouldn't copy that game plan, no. And the Browns' offense didn't do them any favors, as did the Bengals. But I think if you have a Steelers defense, mm-hmm. if the Bengals defense, and Lamar Jackson, let's be candid about how he hasn't been his MVP self. And especially throwing the ball against the Steelers team that picked him off three times and almost beat him with Devlin Hodges and Mason Rudolph, because that was the game Rudolph got hurt last year and Hodges took over. Lamar threw three picks, only ran for 70 yards.
Only.
I don't know if he's that knee injury still hobbling him a little bit. Probably not, because they just had their bye week. Don't know Mark Ingram's status either. Either way, the Steelers.
I think that helps us, Mark Ingram being out, because really? They hammer down on Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, who have been two of the, other than the Texans game, Mark Ingram's been a non-factor, I think. Mm.
So, but either way, it's still a good Steelers run defense and a good Steelers defense to chase down Lamar. Obviously hurting is Bush in the linebacker department, tore his Achilles for the Steelers. With the Ravens, too, what I do like about the under is the Ravens adding those defensive pieces, and they get them for a game like this where right before the bye week, and the Ravens are healthy coming out of the bye week when the Steelers just played an emotional, a taxing game in Tennessee. Either way, like the Steelers, letting the Steelers have 4.5 as an undefeated team with one of the two of the best head coaches facing off against each other, I'll take the points. Another divisional game, San Francisco, Seattle, 53.5 sack. Seattle minus three.
-3, easy. I'm staying with Seattle. They didn't cover last week, but they did for me because I had them in a teaser. And I see this as a bounce back game against an overrated Seattle team. Everybody's like everybody seems after one
betting
week
on
of
Seattle and the overrated Seattle team,
San Francisco team, where I think that San Francisco, everybody forgot that they got embarrassed by the Dolphins, and then they have a bounce back game. And then I think everyone's up there. They're high on them. They're high on them now, and I don't see it. So Seattle -3, easy. And you better hope that it happens, because you are now the proud owner of Tyler Lockett on your fantasy team.
Lockett could still have a day just like he did against Arizona. They still lost. That's why I'm taking. That's not why I'm taking San Francisco. I'm taking San Francisco because Seattle's still overrated. And
best team in the league.
Not the best team in the league.
Best team in the league.
Okay.
Under 53.5.
Zach's opinion. Is that your pick?
That's my pick. Under 53.5. Right, good pick. If San Francisco's going to stay in the game, they're going to keep it on the ground. They're going to run clock like they did against the Rams. Russell Wilson will prove he's MVP, I think, and win it. I don't know if I'm confident in -3 or not, but I'd probably lean that. But I like the under more just because of the game plan and game script.
The under is my bonus.
Nice.
But I'm taking San Francisco +3. For the under, I like the 49ers to control the clock.
Yep.
Even though they're injured everywhere, in the backfield at least. Heistel and Jerick McKinnon.
Hasty.
Jerick McKinnon might actually... Hasty.
I think you like him because you're starting him this week.
I didn't even know his name.
Well...
I don't like him, but he ran well against the Patriots. And Jerick McKinnon might actually get work this week instead of just one carry like he did against the Patriots.
That.
But... on the spread, taking the Niners +3, Seattle, outgained in every game this year. One of the worst defenses in the NFL, and too expensive right now. An overrated team.
How dare
they won't
you.
Win the division.
What?
That's
you don't think Seattle will win the division?
God. No.
That's your
MVP
shit,
will be Russell Wilson, okay. And they will win the division.
Oh, I don't think Russell Wilson
who do you
will
think
MVP
will win?
Either.
Who do you think wins the MVP?
You just
Russell
don't want
Wilson.
To like
oh,
what
easy.
Russell Wilson. That's it.
No, I like Russell. That game was the most fun game of the season. But the whole, like, let Russ cook thing is going to die.
Only because of one
like
drive
at the beginning of the year.
Like, that he didn't come back and win it for his team. That.
No,
I don't
like,
get it.
I'm not saying it's just because of one drive. I think Seattle's an overrated team where they should be. They should have had two or three
losses.
Yeah,
but the narrative.
By now. And I get that he's good and he leads those last minute drives, but you're a Mike Zimmer 1 yard runaway from losing back to back games.
Sure, but he's
and
not.
All I think is that the whole let Russ cook thing, if I'm right with Seattle being underrated, they won't be a 1 or 2 seed in the NFC, and I think Russell's stats gets are axed because of that. And the whole let Russ cook thing was like so trendy at the beginning, and then I think those like kind of Twitter narratives just die at the end. I don't know.
I think the narrative has been created already for Russell Wilson to be MVP because he's never received a single vote.
Oh my! I've never heard that before.
Hey, Scotty,
and that's why he's gonna win it because all like when the voters come into question, they're gonna look back and be like, oh well, like let's give him one this week or this year.
Scotty,
what?
Scotty,
what?
Never mind.
No, just go, Zach. What?
Do you think Shelby feels this way so fervently is because he was so hot on that Dolphins pick against Seattle and it almost hit?
I've been hot on every anti-Seattle
game. No, he wants Seattle to be bad so bad. I know.
No, because they're overrated against the spread, and you guys can't look at it from an actual intelligent standpoint.
Oh yeah, no, we look at it from the number standpoint.
You just look at it as a fan and be like, Russell Wilson's got the Seahawks are good.
I mean, they are. Like, they cover almost every game.
They started five and one.
And I'm saying that. And I'm saying, I was like, guys, like, okay, that's great. But at some point, they're not going to be covering spreads by a half point on the last play of the game every week.
Or they'll be covering by more.
That's all I'm saying. And you guys take it like, oh, you're such a hater on Seattle. Just saying, trying to be somewhat realistic.
You just went on a diatribe about how much you hate Seattle, but you don't hate Seattle.
I just said they're overrated.
and you hate them.
Yeah, you hate them, okay, dude.
If you say a team's overrated, you hate them.
Biggest hater.
I hate San Francisco. They're overrated. I hate them.
Okay. Hawk hater.
Fuck them.
Last game, Shelby the Hawk Sunday Night Football.
Love it.
Dallas and
Philly.
Put
it in your bio on Twitter.
Philly minus
Okay, but
seven.
Back to this Seahawk hate.
I'm going to take the over, 43.5, and let me tell you why. One of these NFC least division games has to hit the over, right? At some point, I think it's this week. Scotty, what do you think?
I'm taking the over too, 43.5.
That's my hot take.
I don't know how this undrafted dude is going to look for Dallas.
Is it for sure him?
No, but I'd assume because Andy Dalton just got fucking murdered on the field last week.
What's his name? Brian Dixuck or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think both defenses are just awful. You saw like what for an undrafted rookie, playing in his first game, I think that he's going to be slinging it a little bit. Even if it's a blowout, I think Dallas at least puts up. Like,
he's got that Brett Rippin energy.
14-21 points for Dallas. Philadelphia wins like 28-31-21 or something. So, yeah, I'd say he gets to 50 almost.
Mm-hmm. Where did he play? Robert Morris?
James Madison.
I'm
going to lay a touchdown with Philly because you just can't bet on Dallas right now.
Nope.
Huh?
Nope, you can't. Oh. I did it last week, and it did not turn out well. All they had to do was beat the football team, and they couldn't do that.
Yeah, and Philly's looks like they're finally clicking. I think they should have won the Giants game by double digits if Wentz wasn't boneheaded and Peterson wasn't as aggressive, Mr. Fearless. But yeah, you have to take you can't bet Dallas right now, and Philly's finally starting to click. They almost beat Pittsburgh, came close against Baltimore, mm-hmm. and then pulled out a couple wins. So I'm going to take Philly. Zach, bonus.
My bonus is we're going to go back to the well here on the the Minnesota and Green Bay game. I really like Green Bay, minus 6.5. It's kind of an easy pick, and we don't really have much else to bet on. We're doing this a little bit earlier, so this is normally where I throw in a player prop. There's no player props in there right now. So, yeah, I'm going to take Green Bay, minus 6.5. Kind of an easy pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the Titans, minus 5.5. I think against the Bengals, it's a rebound game for the Titans. I think this could be much more than 5.5.
My bonus was San Francisco, Seattle, under 53.5. Scotty and I are on the same side there, so I'll just do my lock, and that's the New York Giants on Monday night, under team total 17.5. Like when I can get that key number at 17, get it above it. There's juice on the under, so you're laying a little bit of vig, but the Buccaneers have proved they're a top 5 defense or so. Derek Carr had his moments actually in that game, but I mean, the Bucs, could potentially the number one seed in the NFC if Brady can keep this up. He looked great against Oakland or Las Vegas. Scotty, lock?
Yeah, my lock is going to be Chiefs-Jets under 49. Missed my lock last week on an over 55 in the Atlanta Falcons-Detroit Lions game.
The game was weird.
The game was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the under here. I just don't see the Jets putting up points at all. And even if the Chiefs score 38 points, it's 38-3 or 38-7. So under 49 here is the play for me, and that's my lock.
All right, Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to go with something non-football related. And it's because I was taking a peek at the futures for the NBA, looking at the draft odds and stuff like that.
What?
Yeah, you can bet on at
yeah, but like, Lawrence, what are we supposed to wait for your picks
for Boardwalk? Yeah, we're gonna. What is your pick?
I guess that makes that kind of yeah. I mean, the draft's on the 18th, so I could save it for a future Boardwalk and go with a quick
put a pin in that for 3 weeks from
now. Yeah, I know, right? I'm sorry. I just got excited betting on something other than football for once in a while. No, I'm going to take the Chargers -3.5 against Denver. I think that Denver's kind of lost their way, which is fine because this is kind of a throw-it year anyways. Honestly, at this point, I think you'd rather, and especially in that division where
probably get it -2.5 or under 5.
Vegas,
or 200.
Vegas has exceeded expectations, and obviously the Chiefs are ballers. There's not really any room for Denver to kind of sneak in there like we
Zach,
thought they
would.
Zach,
you could do money line for -170, and that's under 200, so you could do it would play.
I think that kind of only applies for when we did baseball.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of picking the spread here.
Yeah, I'm going to go -3.5 for the Chargers. I think that that's an easy win for Justin Herbert and the squad.
But what if? Yeah. What
so,
if, Zach?
And
it
then
isn't.
Looking... Right.
I think Denver
what if?
And I always have a Denver money line in my back pocket. You guys know I'm
Drew
not
Locke
taking
versus
a Denver
Justin
money
Herbert.
Line.
It should be interesting, actually. I'm actually excited to watch it.
It should be interesting to see how bad Denver's defense does against Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm. One of the best
I
defenses
thought
you'd
go
in the
over
NFL
in that game because that's what Denver's defense looked decent.
Very decent.
The Chiefs.
No,
actually.
No, zero.
The Chiefs scoring a special teams and defense
zero in the snow.
Third down conversions for the Chiefs. Zero.
Wow.
And they put up
in
43
snow.
Points.
The first snow game of the year.
They're like 0-8 third down. It was nothing but field goals, defensive touchdowns, and just like turnovers inside the Broncos territory.
Yeah. The Broncos are probably looking to getting a quarterback. All right. What do we have next?
We have a quick family feud.
Love it.
Two questions.
A house divided.
All right, so get your
dicks out.
Get your burrow is the key word to DM me.
Oh, boy. But, Shelby, can't I just say it to you? We're right here.
Wait.
All
right,
here we go.
Okay.
Are you guys ready?
Yes.
These 10 players, each one of these questions have 10 answers.
Okay.
These 10 players have the best shot at winning the MVP after 8 weeks. Scotty with Burrow.
Oh, we're sent.
Russell
I
Wilson.
Or individual.
Yeah, either one works. All right, that's the number one answer. 25 points. Do you want to pass or play?
10 players. I'm going to pass it.
All right, Zach.
I'm going to pass it.
9 answers on the board, 3 wrong answers left.
Jesus Christ. Aaron Rodgers.
Ding, ding,
show
ding,
me Aaron Rodgers. Ding, ding, ding. Number 2 answer was 16.
Okay. Patty Mahomes.
Number 3 answer with 12.
Oh, Jesus. Now we're starting to get into murky waters.
Glad I passed this.
Yikes. I know, right? Take a quick look at the divisions here.
What? You gotta have a time limit here.
Yeah, come on, man.
Okay, I'll just say Derek Carr. Is he in there? He's overperforming. No? Okay. Josh Allen.
Ding, ding, ding. Number 7 answer worth 6 points.
5.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Ding, ding, ding. Number 9 answer worth 5 points.
Ding, ding, ding.
Tom Brady?
Number 4 answer worth 10 points.
Oh, God. Hell, it's a quarterback's award, I guess. Oh, shit. Five. Philip Rivers.
Incorrect.
Derrick Henry.
There you go. It's
number eight answer worth 5 points.
Yeah. And Jesus Christ. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Incorrect. Scotty, a chance to steal.
Alvin Kamara.
I couldn't hear. Did you say Kamara?
Yeah.
Yes.
Show me Kamara.
No! Yes.
All right.
What?
Number five answer, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, damn, I missed that.
I was going to freaking say him, too.
Number six answer, Kyler Murray. Bro. And number 10 answer, Ryan Tannehill.
Bro, you just took quarterbacks?
Except for Henry.
Those are the top 10 on the betting odds.
Damn.
Literally in order.
No.
Tell me how much it hurts.
All right. Zach, you ended up there with 79 points. All right, Scotty, you need to get 80 points in this one. There's no fast money or anything. All right, here we go.
Congrats.
Get your burrows ready. Put it in the chat with all of us.
Gotcha.
All right, here we go. These 10 players were voted the biggest bust in fantasy so far. Zach.
Christian McCaffrey.
Show me McCaffrey.
What?
He's not a bust.
He's injured.
Got injured.
Yeah, that's a... Okay.
That means, like, players not performing the way they should be.
Yeah, he's not performing because he's literally not playing. Okay.
Scotty.
Oh, it's my turn now.
That's how the game works.
Shit. Fuck. Lamar Jackson.
Show me Lamar. Ding, ding, ding. Number six answer worth 8 points. You want to pass or play?
I'll definitely pass this.
How about you play? Make it more fun.
No. Okay.
All right, we'll
fine.
Pass. All right, he'll play. All right. Scotty, 1 through 5, 7 through 10 on the board. Lamar Jackson taken. Top 10 fantasy bust so far.
Le'Veon Bell.
Show me Le'Veon Bell. Ding, ding, ding. Ooh. Number 10 answer worth 7 points.
Thank God. Fuck. Man. Julian Edelman.
Edelman?
Show me Julian Edelman. Ding, ding, ding. Number 9 answer worth 7 points.
Oh, man. Daniel Jones. These are all just my own busts. Kenyon Drake. Fuck me.
Just one more.
Yeah, thanks. Chris Godwin.
Injury.
Same. All right, so you got 1 through 5 still on the board, along with 7 and 8. Zach, a chance to steal for the win.
Can I keep going if he fails?
Scotty always trying to find a way to win.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, can I? Shit. I have a right answer, so let me win. I forgot about it. And it literally was the first one that came to
have another right answer and then get another wrong answer. How many are left?
1 through 5, 7.
Wait, I know two, actually. Damn it. Why didn't I say either of them?
That's not the rest of them, though. He doesn't understand how this works.
4.
Well, now you're rushing me, and that seems kind of rude. I'm going to go with...
I'm sorry you feel that it's rude. I'll give a Zach answer.
Yeah.
All right. That's not a Zach answer. That's
okay, he's talking so he can have more time.
Takes one to know one.
I know, yeah. Right?
That's fair.
Fuck. Tyreek Hill.
Okay, can I say mine?
Does that mean no one gets the points?
Wait.
He gets how many
points
he just
got. Yeah. Okay.
I get more, right? Let me say two other ones, because I know.
Go for it.
Okay, yes. Mark Ingram. Fuck, really? AJ Green.
Ding, ding, ding.
Number one answer.
Number 8 answer worth 7.
Should have guessed
Kirk
that one.
Cousins.
I fucking drafted his ass.
I don't know. How's Lamar Jackson not on there? He's been kind of shitty.
He is.
That was the answer you got.
Oh, right. Okay.
To start the category.
Forgot. Nick Chubb.
Injury. He's on IR.
Your fucking mom's on IR, dude.
Yeah.
Saquon
Barkley. Whoa. Why
you leave Carlene out of this?
All right, here's the answer.
Carson Wentz.
All right, you're
Carson Palmer.
Number one answer, Kerryon Johnson.
That's garbage.
Number drafted. Number two answer, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Number three answer, David Montgomery. Number four, Devin Singletary.
Zach Moss is vulturing his shit.
Number five, Juju.
Juju, that's a...
And number seven, Sony Michel.
Yeah, Sony Michel ain't seen
also,
shit.
Also, I almost threw in Michael Gallup along with T.Y. Hilton's a big one, too.
Hey.
Michael Gallup's a certified
bitch.
Who
was the one before... who was the one before T.Y.? Sony Michel, who's also been on IR most of the season?
Yep.
Little flawed here.
Well, I made it right. Well, why don't you do the Family Feud you made, and we can play it now? Well, we can, take it out of my schedule.
Hey,
I don't want to watch TV or anything.
Shelby,
we're playing Scotty's Family Feud.
Shelby, listen. It'll be just as good as his normal Family Feud because he comes up with those on the spot as well.
Hey, my Family Feud. All right,
guys, I'm taking
Drew Locke.
All right, is that our show?
That's our show.
All right.
Philip Lindsay.
All right, when you guys listen to this Sunday, just remember that next week we're doing Bachelorette.
Alright. Here we go. There's a little place where the sun sleeps late and pulls himself a shot of tequila. It's a little place called Pleasure Island. That's where I'd like to feel ya. Easy to find, just beyond the last wave. Dolphins and whales are a mate. Sail all day and all night and then take a hard ride. That's where I'll be awaiting. Pleasure Island, island of pleasure. No need to stop and think. Pleasure Island, a beautiful treasure. Come on down and have a drink.